Steve, thanks so much. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and it's Wendy.
Is this the Bill and Wendy disco party?
Yes. It's the Bill and Wendy disco party.
Bring everybody. It on. Nice white pants, even though
you.
It's after Labor Day.
I am wearing white pants.
I know.
How did you do that?
Because I can see you.
I guess you can see me. I put on the cloak of invisibility, and yet you can somehow see me. I don't understand how this works. Dave Ennett, I've asked Dave to stop by, Wendy, and here's why. There's a story in sports that I find just adorable.
It has you written all over
it. I don't think I can do it justice. I think we need a legitimate sports person here to authenticate the fact that this is a real story. Dave, thank you for hanging out.
Oh, you meant me?
Yeah, I meant
okay.
You.
I'm sorry.
I did mean you.
I thought you said legitimate.
All right, take it from... I will just quickly tell you what this is, and you already know, but mm-hmm. I find the story, like I said, Wendy... adorable.
You're the type of person that would do something like this. You really are.
A player on the Buffalo Bills yesterday, Vontae Davis, decided midway through the game that he couldn't take it anymore, and he just retired
yep.
from his career in the NFL. What's behind this, Dave?
Well, he issued a statement last night saying that when he was on the field yesterday, he just wasn't feeling right.
Yeah.
He's gone through multiple surgeries. And, well, here was the statement that he sent out last night. This isn't how I pictured retiring from the NFL, but in my 10th season, I've been doing what my body's been programmed to do. Get ready to play on game day. I've endured multiple surgeries, played through many different injuries. And over the last few weeks, this was the latest physical challenge. But today on the field, it really hit me. Fast and hard, I shouldn't be out there anymore.
How about that?
So at halftime, he went into the locker room and retired.
Yep. That would be like if, let's say we were having a show and you just go, this is just awful.
I say that every day.
You do say it every day. But you don't act on it. The difference between,
yeah,
here's the
I
biggest
guess.
Difference between you and Vontae Davis, is that he acted on it. But let's say it's a show where just... You know, we're supposed to have a guest, and the guest cancels, and at the beginning of the show, it just the stories don't work, and nothing's working. And then at 11:30, you just go, I have been through too much. I'm going to hang it up right now, mid-show.
First of all, I'd never do that, because then that leaves the rest of the place around here, you,
right.
High and dry.
Yes.
It does.
Right.
Well, and that was sort of the reaction on the part of a number of his teammates, because... In all sports, I think this is true, you're taught never to quit.
Right.
And it's one thing if at the end of the season a guy says, or is forced to retire because of injury, or at the end of the season he's like, I've had enough, this is a good time to step away from it. But to quit at halftime of a game when your team's down 28-6.
Yeah.
What if they were winning?
I don't think he would have retired.
Well, that's another, we don't know.
I don't think he would.
He didn't say that, but.
So did he, like in his head, yesterday morning, before the game started, he go, here's what I'm going to do. I'll drive out to the stadium. I'll play for a bit. If the game's going good,
we'll
stick around.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll play it by ear. We'll see what happens.
Dave, is he eligible for his 401k? Do we know that?
I think he's vested.
Okay.
I don't think it's the kind of thing you would do impulsively, right? I mean, he has to have at least pondered the idea.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't happen in a minute. You wouldn't just go, what am I doing? Why do I do this every Sunday?
Yeah, it's something, and he said he'd had some challenges. He spent a long time in the NFL, played at Illinois under Ron Zook.
Yeah.
He's been to the Pro Bowl. He's had a good career.
Yeah,
this is his first year in Buffalo.
Yeah.
But it's just, it goes contrary to what athletes are programmed to
right.
do. They don't quit in the middle of a
right.
game.
Right, 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 right. Who did this on the White Sox?
Oh, well, it was not Adam Dunn.
Who was it?
It was
somebody on the White Sox.
Yeah, it was Adam Dunn, wasn't it?
Was it Adam Dunn?
No, his son, remember his spring training
years,
thing?
Years earlier, somebody on the White Sox.
Kruk, John Kruk.
John Kruk did it.
Yeah.
It was John Kruk. Yeah, the former Philly.
Yeah, so... It's a bizarre turn of events.
And Kerry Wood kind of did it with the Cubs, but he knew he was going to do it.
We knew he was going to retire, but it was during a game.
Right.
During an inning
right.
where his son came out. Remember?
Yeah.
It was a cool moment, but he had already made the decision to
right.
retire. This
right.
isn't like during a half inning, he walks in.
Right. Enough of this nonsense.
He goes and tells whoever was the manager, Lou Piniella, yeah. whoever it was at the time, and say,
I'm done.
No, I'm done.
Well,
I'm not coming.
Luke kind of said goodbye in the middle of the season.
Kind of did.
Oh, he did.
Kind of
did. To tend to his mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, but this is... It's very
That's
strange.
An extenuating circumstance.
It is. Yeah. Now, and the team was going south.
It's been pointed out it did happen another time in Buffalo with Kyle Orton. But it wasn't during a game.
The former Bear.
It was apparently the day after the season ended. He showed up in the locker room. He said, "Oh, just here to grab my wallet. I'll be back." And he never came back.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's no quitting team.
There's no quitting team, and there's no I in team.
Right. But there's an I in quit.
There's I in quit. Dave, that's it all.
That went full circle around the room. It's like the game of telephone, and Dave Bennett wins.
All right, so do we, Wendy, you tell me. You be the jury on this.
I'm not quitting.
Do we respect the guy
no.
who just
said,
or we don't respect
I
the
don't.
Guy who just says, this isn't feeling good?
You know what? You finish the game and you say,
"Yeah,
my body can't take it anymore."
I think you're right, Wendy. I think you go to the coach and you say, "Look, I can't go in the second half." And we can talk after the
right.
game.
Yeah.
But it's...
It messes with all your teammates' heads.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just think that's sort of... it's not a great thing to do to your
selfish.
Teammates.
Dave, maybe he went, "Oh, it's 1:30. I could catch a movie. There's a movie starting at 1:45. If I leave right now,
I get to an early bird special."
Right.
Remember, because they kicked at 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
That game's not going to be over till 4.
He's got to play. Wasn't that the John Fogerty follow-up, "Take me out, coach"?
Yes. Yes, it is. Dave, thanks for hanging out.
Sure.
Appreciate it. That's Dave Bennett. You guys will take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It sounds like a slam, doesn't it?
It does.
Those D-backs. It sounds like you're saying something very sad and negative about them.
I don't like
Diamondbacks.
It. Right.
Right. That's a more acceptable term.
Yes.
I attended the Cubs game yesterday.
You did?
Yes, I did. Had
did
a very
you have
nice
fun?
Time. You know who was in our section? Is the Cubs have a guy, Steve, I don't know if you've ever seen this guy. He's a beer vendor, but he sings songs all throughout the game.
Like yeah,
he
yeah.
has.
Did you have him on?
I had on a vendor who wrote a book about the other vendors.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
it was really interesting.
Thank you.
This guy has been there at Wrigley for years and years and years, and he's come up with a bunch of song parodies. He's the Weird Al Yankovic of beer vendors.
Awesome.
He tailors songs to whoever he is selling beers to.
Combining my two favorite things, Weird Al and beer.
Right. Had you not been a married woman, I would introduce you, and the two of you would fall in love and live in a castle somewhere. During the game, that's what was playing in my head. Oh, if only Wendy were happily married, I could introduce these two. And boy, what a love connection that would be. That's what I kept saying to myself.
So you don't know your Wrigley beer singer? Does he have glasses?
No.
Oh.
Maybe there's more than one. Because I did notice that other beer vendors tried to hone in on his action a little bit. Because he did very well. This beer vendor made a lot of money. A lot of people giving him big tips. And I noticed the other beer vendors would kind of try to sing a little bit, but it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
Nowhere near as strong.
So were you yelling, "Run, Wilson, run"?
Yes.
Yesterday? Yeah.
Yes, I was yelling that. That was one of the things I was yelling. It's very sad. For people who didn't see the game yesterday, the game was decided by a foul ball, which looked to be fair, but it hit. I guess it hit the umpire's shoe or foot or something.
Well, he ruled it was moved into foul territory before it hit him. Yeah,
But they didn't do the replay. Normally, on a close play, they'll show it there. They didn't show it.
It's disappointing. There, I know. I was at a game earlier this year where they didn't either, and it wasn't even sort of controversial. It would have explained it further, but they didn't show the replay.
So, is the reason behind that, Steve? Here's what I guessed the reason was. You tell me. Is that if it's close, of course, it's the hometown, you know, you're in Chicago, so everybody's going to say, "Oh, come on, we know what we just saw." But they don't want the controversy. They don't want 40,000 angry people there, right?
Right. They don't want to show up the umpire and have him start booing and stuff like that.
Right. Oh, that happened anyway, by the way.
Which they should have, because I learned about the shadow rule yesterday.
What's
the shadow rule?
Because what happens is if the ball bounces before it gets to the base, it depends on where it crosses the foul line at the base, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was moving toward foul territory, but if you watch, the shadow of the ball was on the bag as it crossed the bag.
So they have a rule that they call the shadow rule?
It's not a rule. It's it's the, you know, what the knuckleheads in the booth were working on, Jim DeShays.
Oh.
But it makes perfect sense, and the ball sure looked fair.
Well, that ended up being a deciding moment in the game, and Madden is none too happy. You know, he's yeah. very and the crowd wasn't very happy. Obviously,
You can't do a replay on it, so there's no like
that's unreviewable.
Eclipse replay.
Oh,
right?
That's very upsetting. Are you okay to discuss your health issue? I know you're not
fine.
You're okay.
I just I have something going on with my ears.
Like what?
Like they're all muffled.
Really?
Yeah.
From what?
I think I have an ear infection.
Oh,
cauliflower ear maybe?
Do you have that?
No, I prefer broccoli. But no, it's just I think it's a every year in October I have allergy issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it started a couple of weeks before our wedding almost 21 years ago. I got really bad, what I thought was a cold, like 2 weeks before our wedding. And the doctor wanted to put me on steroids. And she said, well, you may gain weight. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been doing Weight Watchers forever. I am not doing... No. So
you should have done the steroids, because then when you were pregnant with your wife, you could have lifted Jim over your head and spun him around.
I could have carried him over the threshold.
The cold didn't settle in your feet or anything like that, did it?
No, but I just refused to take it. And it's so weird, because that was in 1997, October 25th, we got married. And every year since then...
Really?
I'm sick on our anniversary, and it's obviously seasonal allergies,
oh,
or
I wonder,
I'm allergic to Jim.
Well,
I used to go through that, Wendy, and be it would get in my chest, and it could stay for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
oh, no.
So,
every time at this time of year, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know if it's mold.
Yeah.
Fungus. I don't know what it is, but every year, and it's I don't feel stuffed up. I feel fine, but my ears are completely muted. So, and I got to tell you, listening to that saxophone, my eardrum was vibrating.
What is that, good or bad?
It's bad.
Oh,
I mean,
bad?
It hurts.
Yeah.
I was trying to watch TV, and I had. Could you turn the volume down?
Oh, sure.
So I just made a doctor's appointment to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Because I
they
need
do?
My hearing.
Do you know what they'll do?
They'll look in my ear with that lighted thing,
yeah.
The pointy thing.
I'll stand on the other side and hold up fingers and see if they
that's
can
a bunny.
Six.
That's the shadow rule.
That's the shadow rule. Come back to bite you.
But I just,
oh, no.
I can't hear. And then somebody long ago told me that if you massage the area, if you know how you make the loser sign with your hand?
Yeah.
Like between your thumb and index finger?
Yeah.
That little cushy area, the crotchal region of your pointer and thumb.
From your, right.
It's
that's
like
a
wedding.
Pressure point.
Yeah, and somebody told me to like really get in there good on both hands, and it clears up your sinuses.
Do you know what's behind that? I had somebody explain to me what's behind that once, because I've heard several people suggest that.
That same area?
Yeah, that exact same area. So what you're doing there is you're redistributing the pain. So your brain will start focusing on the pain. Like the more pressure you add to that area, your brain will focus, because all of a sudden there's sudden ache there, and it'll forget about whatever other part of you is aching.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
Theory.
This is supposed to like clear your sinuses. Like you feel all of a sudden, I'm doing it. I don't know if it works.
I think at some point somebody just said, just have people, whatever, no matter what is wrong with you. I got hit by a bus. Well, all you need to do is press that area.
Oh, no, there are different areas for different things.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's like the Flintstones, right? You'd get hit in the head with a bowling ball and take care of
you. Right.
What did it sound like when Fred was running with the bowling
like
ball?
Like that.
But so it looks like, you know...
What? You have to keep talking.
Well, I can't say it on the air, but that area of you, it looks like a part of a woman. That's all I'm saying.
Only, I swear, if I had a million people in this room and I said, what does this part of your hand look like? You'd be the only one who would say that.
I see it like the eyelashes.
Yes, exactly.
Steve to the rescue.
I'm blushing and I'm deaf.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be massaging my area.
That's, all right. Steve, you want to have a quick lunch somewhere?
And hopefully my sinuses will
really
drain.
Right now. Right. I was hungry until just a minute.
Yeah,
you
know
the left one really feels like it's clearing out.
Yeah? Well, you're halfway home.
So that's it. I'm not real health issues. I'm not in pain.
There's no pain involved.
I got to tell you, it's making me super dizzy.
Because of the equilibrium
yeah.
in your ears, right?
I started feeling this way right before our open house that we had here. So what was that, 2 weeks ago, three
mm-hmm.
weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe it was because we went from the first floor to the 18th floor and maybe
no,
the, you know, it was just...
The air pressure change?
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
But you do you constantly feel like you might fall down or something? Are you
no,
getting that?
I'm just wobbly. I feel like Aaron Rodgers.
Shake your head back and forth like you're a dog getting out
yeah.
of the water.
Why?
Just keep doing that.
Why?
Just to see what happens to your vertigo if you have problems that way.
Yeah, it'll make it worse.
Well, we'll see. Maybe that's not the problem. We can rule it out right now.
Yeah.
How about, like, I just go to my doctor? That's what I should do. That's what I'm doing. I have an appointment.
People used to do things.
At 420.
So 20th century. Now there's the internet. You don't need a doctor.
No, doctors are a thing of the past, Wendy.
I've already diagnosed it. When I called, I said, I'm pretty sure I have a sinus or double ear infection, and usually I'm right.
Oh, all right. We have a track record. You're fine.
My left nostril is cleared out a little bit. I'm going to keep rubbing this.
We're halfway home.
Please stop that.
That doesn't sound
right. And if you're going to keep doing it, just don't tell us.
Yeah. Let's keep something secret. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news. Later on, noted pet expert Steve Dale will come by. That should be interesting. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I've been following all the Hurricane Florence news throughout the weekend. The death toll now, I believe, at 23. Ryan Burrow is still on the scene. You still in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Ryan?
I am, yeah. And we just got an update. ABC News just confirmed that a one-year-old has died in Union County as a result of a car that got swept away. Mom was able to get out. The kid, unfortunately, got out of her grasp, and she was unable to rescue the child. So we've got another death to report. And that's the concern right now. You know, the governor came out yesterday and said this is the deadly period. This is the most dangerous time because, first of all, the sun is out. The hurricane is gone. It's away, but you've still got a lot of downed trees. You've still got a lot of flooded out roadways. You've got power out, and you've got rivers that are trying to get to the ocean. And as a result, the Cape Fear River, which I'm staring at right now, actually right alongside the bridge here, is at 50 feet. It's expected to get to 62 feet. And by the way, the flood stage is 35 feet. So this is expected to start filling up some of these nearby neighborhoods. There's a mandatory evacuation for anyone who lives within a mile of either bank of this river. And that being said, I've talked to numerous people who live in that mile, and they're not going anywhere. They plan to stay.
Ryan, I heard you over the weekend with Brian Noonan, actually, yesterday, mentioning that many of the deaths or several of the deaths have been in car-related incidents, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of traffic crashes involving people who, you know, may not be able to see. There may be debris in the road. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of intersections here where the lights don't work. And I don't know about you, but when you drive up to an intersection, whether you see a green light or red light, you expect to make a decision. But when you don't see any light, you keep going.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the problem is people don't realize intersections are coming up. So now that it's sunny outside, hopefully a lot of that is getting sorted out. And a lot of these are now four-way stops where they've got some kind of indication. But that being said, I mean, it's still pretty dangerous out here driving.
And what are the totals for, like, water on the roadways? How many inches at the highest points?
Yeah, you know, it all kind of depends on where you're at. Wilmington obviously has quite a bit of flooding, to the extent of which we know now that actually most of the city is cut off. You can't get in or out of Wilmington right now. Where I am here, downtown has some problems. They're doing some construction work, and a lot of where the construction is flooded. It's just a low-lying area, and so the water has kind of risen up above some of these major roads. We're being told more than 100 roads across North Carolina have been completely shut down at this point, including I-95 and I-40. I-95 is what you take to get from New York to Miami. I mean, it's a pretty large, you know, pretty big road that a lot of people travel, and they're actually encouraging people to kind of go around North Carolina, use Virginia, and shoot across down to Tennessee and scoot down that way, as opposed to trying to come through the eastern part of the city, of the state, I should say.
They chopping down a tree right now?
No. It's a gentleman parked next to me just started playing music. You know, on this bridge, because there is, because it's sunny out, people are finally able to get out of their homes. There's no school today. A lot of people are standing on the bridge right now, and they're looking down at this massive river that's basically taking down whole trees.
Jeez.
So it's kind of like a tourist event right now, unfortunately, knowing that this thing's going to rise maybe to the point of the bridge itself.
That's so scary.
Awful. Can they even guess at this point, Ryan, when there's a return to normalcy, or is that too hard to predict?
You know, it's going to be slow. I can tell you that we just got an update from Duke Energy. There's still 500,000 people in the Carolinas without power. There's still several thousand people here that I've talked to have been out without power for 4 days. And, you know, obviously that makes things very, very difficult. And then you've got these floodwaters. How high are they going to rise? If it gets up to 62 feet, how many homes are going to be impacted by that? And obviously, with people still being in those homes, there's an opportunity for some water rescues. Now, people are standing by. I've seen some, looks like National Guard helicopters, maybe Coast Guard helicopters fly overhead, just kind of monitoring the region as far as we know. Unfortunately, you know, those people got to make decisions quick, or, you know, it could be very, very difficult times coming up for them very soon.
Saw some people over the weekend being interviewed, and they said, okay, we were wrong, we should have left.
Yeah, right.
But yet there are still some holdouts. As you mentioned, people you talk to are still not giving up the ship.
You kind of feel for some of these people. Many of them don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
They don't feel comfortable in shelters. So some of us are fortunate enough to be able to avoid an area and maybe stay at a hotel, but, you know, many of us aren't able to do that, you know, especially when you've got 3-4 kids, or you've got grandma, or you've got someone with health needs. You know, packing up and sitting in a hotel for 5 days is not the easiest. A lot of people say, well, why don't I just hunker down and hang out here? At least I know where everything is, you know?
Ryan, I'm curious about the hotel situation. Now, you're staying in a hotel, right?
I am, yeah.
All right, so thankfully, when people come in and all the rooms in the hotel are sold out, do they find a place somewhere in the hotel for those people? Or what do they tell the people who come in and they're just out of rooms?
No, the nice thing is with cell phones now, a lot of people are calling ahead, but I witnessed the front desk person telling multiple people who called in, we've got no room. And the thing is, it's not just evacuees and reporters who are filling up all of these rooms, but a lot of these crews, construction crews and electricity crews from across the country, you know, they've got to stay somewhere and they've got to eat and they've got, you know, so that takes up a lot of resources in the area. Now, I can tell you that a lot of these evacuees are very, very anxious to get home.
Yeah.
And as a result, a lot of them have been leaving, even if they don't know if there's power back at home. They don't know if there are grocery stores open back home. They don't care. They've been sitting in a hotel room with their two dogs for 4 days, and they want to get out, you know, and so they're willing to make that sacrifice.
And you want to get back home to assess the damage and see what it is you have to do so you can turn things into motion.
You know, the idea, you know, initially that, hey, this is going to be vacation. You know, we get to go to a different town and stay in a hotel for a few days. Yeah, eventually reality sets in and you start worrying about what's going on back at home. Is everything safe? Is it flooded? Is the power back? Am I fine to go back? How are my neighbors doing? You know, what kind of damage do I have? So, yeah, that's you know, it starts to set in pretty quickly.
And I saw on the news footage of there were several dogs in a kennel that the water was rising and it showed people rescuing them. It's just really a sad situation any way you look at it.
Yeah, I saw that video. You know, we mentioned, I think last time we spoke, about how you wanted to tie Bill to a tree.
Yeah.
No, I did that. That
I mentioned that.
That is not my exact quote.
I thought you said that. All right.
But no, I mean, it's you know, It's hard to get in people's heads as to why they do these things. You know, a lot of us think that, well, nature will take care of itself. You know, the horses and the dogs know how to get out and do things. But, you know, it's heartbreaking at times. There are actually wild horses here in North Carolina, and they've been found safe. So that's good. I didn't realize that there was a herd of wild horses, and they get checked up on occationally.
Wait, that still exists? There's still horses running around?
That's what I read. I don't know where this is. I guess I didn't read that in depth into the story, but we got some editorial that said that the horses are okay.
Yeah, I think it's on an island, right, Ryan? Did you say an island?
Yeah, it might be the case.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
An island completely run by horses, Steve? Are you sure?
Well, the mayor's real horses.
All right. Yeah, now
they should make a movie of that.
Well, Ryan, when do you venture home?
You know, I don't know yet. We're waiting to see. This is as sad as it sounds, you know, usually when there's some kind of casualty or national disaster, the president comes in and you know, does his piece, and that kind of is a good indication that, okay, everything is kind of wrapped up here. We don't know. The president is supposed to come at some point in the coming days, whenever it's safe. We don't know when that's going to be. So it sounds like we're going to hang out at least until we figure out what the White House's plans are. If he's going to visit, if he's going to helicopter over, we just don't know at this point.
How's the cell phone service out there?
Actually, great. This has been one of those storms where it's been mostly a rain event. So, you know, we've had a lot of power outages and, you know, obviously we've had, I don't know if I told you this, but my hotel was out of power for a few days, which made for some interesting times. By the way, a hotel without power is a whole new beast. That is...
What floor were you on?
I was on four. Elevators don't work. But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, when you've got bathroom concerns and heating concerns and moisture everywhere and dogs and, you know, it's... staying at the embassy suites when there's no power is a little bit different than staying in the embassy suites when there is power. That's
Wendy,
sure.
You know Ryan. He demands a continental breakfast.
Oh,
he demands it.
I do.
Yep. All right.
Although you think when a hotel is full, I don't know if every hotel has like a big banquet room, but you'd almost think they'd set up makeshift cots and such to accommodate more people.
They do the best they can, but I mean, reality is they can only, I mean, they've only got X number of employees to manage all of this. Now, at one point during the outage, I mean, they literally just threw all their food out on the counter and said, go ahead and eat it. I mean, because it's... probably going to go bad.
Spoil.
You know, we don't know how long it's going to last. So, you know, you've got food kind of everywhere. No one can see. Everyone's walking around with flashlights. It's difficult. And for many of those people, they were evacuees. They went to Fayetteville so they could get away from that kind of, you know, situation. So, yeah.
Well, good luck to you.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Restaurants are open, so I'm happy about that. That's good news.
Get some cottage fries. Thanks, Ryan.
Take care.
That's my advice to him.
I don't like your advice, and I'm glad you're not out covering the stories.
No, me too. I wonder if he wanted to get closer, if they would allow that, you know?
He said as long you can do whatever you want, as long as you're not going to die. He said that on Friday, remember?
Yeah.
He said there aren't really big restraints, but you don't want to interfere with rescue efforts.
Right, sure.
Or, I mean, with all this downed power and water,
very dangerous.
That doesn't go well together.
Very, very dangerous. All right, that's our own Ryan Burrow. He is in Fayetteville, North Carolina, reporting live. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, well, the Bears game is tonight.
Oh, it is?
Yes. You're not even going to watch for a
Seattle
second.
Seahawks now.
We just had Sarah Colonna on, a comedian, and her husband was a longtime member of the Seahawks, right?
Yeah. He's
Isn't
a punter.
That, but he is no longer with them.
He's
with the Buffalo Bills for a second, and now he's a free agent.
Yeah. He's looking for work right now.
But it's just so weird we had her on. We're playing the Seahawks, and we may win someday.
That's true. Anything can happen.
And Sarah Tuohy, the baker to the Bears, we forgot to ask her.
She was on Friday.
Yeah, we forgot to ask her, like, for away games. This is a home game, but I was wondering what she did for away games.
Yeah.
For our away game today, she dropped off a pound cake with a thank you note for having her on.
I don't understand it. On Friday, she left a tray of incredible treats, way too much for you and I to eat. We gave them to everybody here at the station. And then just a few short days later, a giant cake. Very, very kind of her.
A homemade pound cake.
Yeah.
We have got to come up with a weekly segment for her so she can bring these treats in. She's Sarah Tuohy, and she's baker to the Bears.
Yeah.
And she's a lovely woman. And thank you for the pound cake. We have to thank you.
What was the dessert she mentioned last week? So for people who didn't get to hear the interview,
check the podcast, WGNradio.com.
The podcast is available. They do a treat day for the Bears every week. They pick a day, and Sarah makes, you know, either brownies or cookies or cakes or whatever. And she mentioned something that had something with champagne in it, and that's all I heard.
Pink champagne cake or something.
Is it pink champagne cake? Was that what it was?
She has
that sounded good.
I can't remember her blog. Jasmine, do we remember her blog? Because she's going to post recipes of things, and she does. She does a great job with it.
I'm not blaming her, Wendy, but maybe the Bears' failure in the second half, maybe they were doing that thing where when you have too much sugar and you just kind of crash, maybe that. I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying it's a huge coincidence.
Well, I think your idea is the best, and I don't think they should get the wonderful, tasty treats
unless
they win.
If you win, you get the champagne cake. If you lose, you get nothing.
That's kind of...
Champagne cake is for winners, for closers. That's it. You saw Glengarry Glen Ross. You know how successful that is.
Her blog is called Baking for the Bears.
Baking
for the Bears. And it's on our Facebook page, the podcast and everything, our interview right now.
She was just such a joy.
Yeah.
She really was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make some recipes of hers, and maybe that'll make the Bears win. I don't know what to do.
Speaking of joys, Wendy, noted pet expert Steve Dale is just moments away It should be fun.
All right. Well, coming up, in addition to Steve Dale, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. I've never seen Bill Leff so enthralled in the conversation that I was
having. Oh, my God.
Is he still here?
What a great discussion we just had in the studio.
Listen, I like to hog Steve Dale and get his expert advice before we turn it to the listeners. Right. I don't want to hog
your time. You said hog
time.
Because I'm kosher? No, I'm not kosher.
Are
anyway.
You?
No, I'm not. I saw the opportunity before Bill jumped in and
No,
said
Bill
that
was coloring.
90% of the discussion was about the bathroom habits of Wendy's dog.
Yeah, but when you have a puppy and there's issues for a while and you flip through a bunch of foods, which I was talking about, all the news, the FDA issued this warning that grain-free foods can cause something cardiomyopathy.
Good. Dilated cardiomyopathy. Very
where
nice.
It's an enlarged heart. And so
that's bad.
9 out of 10 people, it seems, have been feeding their animals grain-free foods because it became all the rage.
It did, but you know what? It's not 9 out of 10. In reality, it seems that way because everyone on the internet seems to be saying, or did say, grain-free, and it was a marketing thing.
Yeah, because dogs eat grain.
So I'll tell you all the same thing I told you, Wendy, is that we don't know that grain-free is good, but we do know it can potentially be bad. And we don't know that there's any benefit to having a grain-free diet, if that makes sense.
Yes. And
so we have to learn more.
And I've also read that most dogs are more have more sensitivities to chicken than they do grains. Which
actually, that's true.
Well, so look at all
so
the dog
the
foods.
So there's the misconceptions.
So many dog foods, chicken is the main ingredient.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to go
but
venison.
Most dogs are fine with chicken. I mean, it's a small percent that have any problem with chicken. We don't know about the grain-free thing. The grain-free causing this kind of heart disease called dilated cardiomyopathy, we don't know if there's a breed-specific tendency, whether there's some other genetic something that may occur in the background of these dogs that precipitates that. Nobody yet knows. It's being studied.
All right, Steve, give us your Emmy picks.
That's tonight already, isn't it?
It is.
Steve and I are having an all-kitty party. Only kitties are allowed to come to our
party. You know, that would be a great idea to do at the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe, a place where you hang out, I believe, on a regular basis.
I'm always there.
I know it.
That's
I've not
place.
Seen you yet there, but, you know.
I'm way in the back.
Yeah, way in the back. way in the back.
The back alley.
Hiding in a litter box, perhaps.
Yes.
But I've got good news about the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe.
What is it, Steve?
Funny thing you brought that up.
Yes.
Because they are doing amazing things. So since they've begun, they've said, okay, we're going to adopt out cats from animal care and control. Well, for every cat they adopt out, in a sense, it saves two cats because that allows for more space. So the cat they bring in and adopt out, now there's another space at the city's municipal shelter. Now, that's always a good thing, but it's been a good thing, a great thing this summer, because for reasons I cannot explain, I wish I could, maybe you can, it seems that cats are having more fun this summer reproducing. I do not know why. Could be the weather. Might be something in the air. I don't know.
Right.
But they're doing a very good job at that. So that means there are even more kittens. So Windy Kitty Cat Cafe said, okay, let's build a kitten nursery. The problem with little kittens is they need a lot of attention.
They're so cute.
Yes, but they need 24/7 care. Right after they're born, if there is no mom around.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is a mom around, sometimes there isn't. And when there isn't, how do you do that without the right facility to do that? So Windy Kitty Cat Cafe raised some money to build something, but they're not there yet. They want to save more kittens. And I'll tell you, this lady, Jenny Tyner, who runs Windy Kitty Cat Cafe, has done an incredible job. She is saving cats. She's now saving these little teeny, itty-bitty, very cute, you're right, kittens. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's quite a commitment to make. She's made it, and it is incredibly helpful because at Animal Control, they really don't have the staff and the facility to care for them. Foster families do, so if you want to foster cats or kittens, they need more of them.
Mm-hmm.
However, they need more of them. So here's a way in which all at once kittens can be saved. So please help them out. I've got a piece on my blog with a direct link. It's stevedale.com. TV for further information, and I hope people do help them out. I'm trying to get them some corporate support.
Steve, what is your theory on why the cats are more amorous this summer as opposed to others? What's going on? Is it the Ariana Grande music?
And can I add on that? Is it wild stray feral cats, or are they people who own these cats and don't fix them and let them outside?
It's the former for the most part. So the good news is we are keeping our cats indoors more than ever before.
Right.
Bill's doing that.
Yep.
You know, people are doing that all over the city.
I never let my cat out when I had him because I couldn't sleep if he didn't come home.
And they wouldn't, or they could get hit by a car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But people have this fallacy that cats don't get. They're meeting on the internet. They're hooking up for what they think is just one quick night of fun. And then the price
you pay
is, yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens. They're induced ovulators, which means they literally breed like rabbits do.
Yep.
So once they've had a litter, they're ready. Once that litter is raised, which is pretty quickly.
Get another one going.
They are ready
really?
For... Yeah.
That's not good for the mama cats.
Well, that's what cats do, and they don't need the health insurance to do
it. Well, they need another purpose in life. They need to up their self-esteem and,
Wendy,
you know,
hit the nail on the head,
not give themselves away so easily.
Yep. So to speak. However, to answer your question, so people are keeping their cats indoors, and for those owners, which is most people now, that keep their cats indoors, they are spayed and neutered. If they're not, you deserve to live with what you
have. The people are,
or the cats are? I believe
the cats are.
Some people maybe.
Is right. there a cat deterrent? Because I don't want to name names, but there's a cat in our neighborhood, let's just say that, and it keeps coming
Harvey?
Up on my porch.
The cat's name you don't want to name?
No. I don't want it on my porch.
In case the cat's listening.
You never know.
So what do you do to prevent that, Steve?
Well, you can get the couple things you could try to do. So people
air
try...
horn.
That's just my mouth. Get out of here.
That's not what I had in mind. No.
What did you think?
I don't want to complain. People can let their cats do what they want, but keep them away from my house.
But, you know, so there
on
are
the
lots,
porch.
Lots and lots and lots of reasons why I want cats indoors. One of those reasons is it's safer for the cats. That's the most important reason. They really do get hit by cars, and people think they don't. They can be poisoned. They can get, by mistake even, eating something that they should not eat. Cats don't always know better. They can be attacked by stray dogs. They could be attacked by other
coyotes.
Cats that are out there. Absolutely. Coyotes, you know. So they are far better off. We know they're going to live longer indoors, and they won't get hit by a car if they're indoors
only. And they won't go on my porch.
But, but that's the other thing. So cats outside do eat things, and sometimes those things are birds, you know, and I don't want that to happen. In addition, I don't want them pooping on people's porches. That's not right. So if you let Kona out roaming the neighborhood, people would, I hope, complain.
Yeah.
And you would never do that because it's wrong. Why do we think differently with domestic cats? I don't quite understand that. Now, about keeping the cat out off your porch, I have some ideas. So, and I bet the listeners do too. So one idea, people have tried all these sorts of things. This idea I heard on the Bill Luft show, and that is to go, you weren't there then.
The late night show?
Very late night.
You have this passive-aggressive relationship.
Yeah.
Very, very, very late night. It was to...
Was this on my syndicated show, Rock Track, that I have?
Yes.
On satellite?
You got to bring that back.
I have that. I got... Yes. That's a fun show.
It was so
Boz
much fun.
Boz Scaggs was on last week, Wendy. That's, said to say hello to you.
Is that the only guest you've ever had on?
Yeah.
That was...
He's on every week.
That was the lowdown.
Yeah.
And what he said is, get some wolf urine.
Oh, get some wolf urine.
Do you have any,
yes. Yeah, I got some.
Can you spot me some?
Yeah, I'll
and,
bring some
and
in.
The good news is that will keep some cats away.
Now,
the
mine
bad
is
news...
from Wolf Blitzer. Is that good news or bad news?
That's not what I meant.
He came to a party at my house, and things did not go well.
What, do you collect DNA from people when they come to your parties?
Sometimes.
Don't go to a Bill Left party.
I haven't. Never been invited to one myself.
Right, here we go.
You won't even let me play tennis with you.
So how about like aluminum foil or something to scare them?
Yeah, would that work?
Maybe not.
No. How about I'll just tell the neighbor?
You know what really does work better than the wolf urine, because then it rains and the urine goes away, you know? Or better than aluminum foil. People have set up like balloons, and if the cat bursts the balloon, the cat will get scared away.
Oh,
and their house
that.
Looks very festive.
Yeah.
But a better idea is a scarecrow.
It's a scarecrow, Wendy.
Yeah.
It's on my front porch?
Well, let me explain.
I've got Ray Bolger's number. Hold on.
Was he on Rock Tracks ever?
Boz Scaggs brought him in.
What's his favorite Boz Scaggs song?
He loves them all. Heart of Mine, he said, is his favorite one.
1981.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I'm talking about the sprinkler called the Scarecrow.
What's that?
It's a sprinkler with an invisible eye. And what it does is it sees motion. It has a motion detector.
I'm going to use that for Jimmy Mack when he comes home late. Oh, my God, would that be funny?
That would be great.
And it's like, yeah, it's like that Three Stooges thing where they put a bucket of water over the door.
Yeah.
Except this is a sprinkler with a motion detector. So anything, whether it be deer or a porcupine or a Jimmy Mack comes and walks by and it detects movement, it goes, psh.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, where do we get that? Sprayed. Scarecrow sprinkler.
Uh-huh. At True Value Hardware Stores, I believe. And online and where products like that are sold.
I'm going to Handy Andy later, Wendy. I'll pick one up for you.
I'm serious. This really, it's like $39.99.
I dated
like
a guy named Handy Andy in high school. It was much different.
I don't
want
to know why. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll have noted pet expert Steve Daly sitting right over there.
I am
crazy not to talk to him. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Beautiful.
That's all I have to say.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale is with us. He's on Facebook. He's on Twitter. Steve Dale.
He's on Lithium.
Pet World.
But yeah, something like on Twitter, Steve Dale Pets, I believe. But on Facebook, you could find me and join my fan page. It's a party.
What? In what way is it a party, Steve?
We talk pets all the time.
Oh, all right.
We talk fun things.
I watch a lot of
That's
your videos.
Yes, you
I
do.
Listen
Thank
to your
you.
Show on Sunday mornings. I, you know.
You and my mom.
When you're an animal lover, I listen with your mom.
I'm in trouble. Oh, no.
Why?
I forgot to tell my mom I was going to be on with you.
Oh, Steve.
Can we do this all again?
No. Call her. Oh. Just call her real quick.
Now?
Yeah. Call her up.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Oh. I'm a pet lover, so I follow all your stuff. Bill just is a Steve Dale lover.
Big
so,
fan.
You know. I'm not so
Big
sure.
Big fan.
All right, so Animal Welfare League is
yes.
going through some issues.
Yeah, you know, and to be honest with you, it's like, what do I do? You know, I try to help. I'm trying to help.
You've always tried to help.
Well, thank you, but I mean, it's a mess there. And, you know, I'm torn. As a journalist, I mean, I want to report these things, but if I'm going to do harm to the facility and to the public image more, I don't want to do that. On the other hand, people have a right to know what's happening there, and you can't rectify. You know, the thing I don't understand about Animal Welfare League is so many, including the village, Charles Lipinski, the congressman, I mean,
Dan
Lipinski, thank you, have all reached out and said, I want to help in some way, shape, or form. Other animal shelters, so the expertise, and I'm not talking about political help, I am talking political help, public officials have offered to help, but also expertise from other facilities, and they've turned down everything, and I don't know why. So instead, I do know why. Instead of saying,
we need
help, their board has said we're just circling the wagons. And instead of becoming transparent, we're going to do the opposite of that. And it's really unfortunate. And I...
What does the Animal Welfare League do?
They're an open intake facility. And that's a very, very good question. They serve the south side of Chicago.
Chicago Ridge is their location.
In an underserved area, and they are also in Chicago Ridge. Now, so they have two locations. Being an open intake facility, they take everything. If they did not, they're heroes, really, because if they did not take everything, the Chicago Animal Care and Control Facility would be even more overwhelmed than they already are. So we've historically, for like 70 years, have had Animal Welfare League to lean on to help us. That they provide low-cost spay-neuter and a lot of other services.
Like veterinary services
yes.
for people who can't
yes.
otherwise afford
yes.
it.
Yes, they've been wonderful. But we are now in the year 2018, and you have to... I believe it is the humane thing to do to apply standards to today's standards, not standards of 50 years ago. And they're not currently, to my knowledge, doing that. And the thing that confuses me is they're not accepting help because so many want to help.
That seems silly.
It does. We want them. We want the Animal Welfare League, and I'm not alone, to be operating the way it should be, and whether it be Chicago Ridge as a community and their trustees and mayor who have done everything they've could to try to help and they're being pushed away, or whether it be Dan Lipinski, or whether it be other shelters in the Chicago area and rescues, that have reached out. And I hope they're bored. You know, when these things happen, we talked about Treehouse just over a year ago and the mess that was over. It all falls on these boards of directors, you know?
And I'm looking at every adoptable pet at the Animal Welfare League, and they're all the Staffordshire Terriers, which are
the pit bull type dogs. But, poor little things. It's the same way at Chicago Animal Care and Control. And if you go to the website of Pittsburgh or New York City or Dallas or name the city,
the unloved pets, that's just making me sad.
Yeah, and they all look the same or similar. They really do. But I've got good news.
Okay.
I know that it's going to be tough here, and probably the management of the radio station will close down the station on October 20th because it is Cures for Cats Day. Woo! That is so exciting. So the
does that mean?
The Wynn Feline.
We finally found a cure for cats, Steve?
No, that's not right.
Oh.
The Wynn Feline Foundation has said, and of course, as you know, they support funding for cat health studies.
Are you on the board of that place?
I am on the board of that place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good board. I've been on their board for, I think, 13 years. They fund research into cat health, anything and everything. For 50 years, we've learned about cat health, from vaccines they get to the food they do eat to everything we know about cats, whether they be shelter cats or whether they be those outdoor community cats or owned cats, whether they be pedigree cats, the purebred cats,
right,
like the Maine Coon cats, or whether they are wonderful,
good.
Or ragdoll cats or Siamese or mixed breed cats, which most cats are. We have learned all those things, everything from the Wynn Feline Foundation, and to celebrate that and to celebrate cats, October 20th is Cures for Cats Day. Now, if you give $2...
Some of the stores already have their decorations up, Wendy. Can you believe it?
What are the decorations?
Cats!
Poor cats.
Oh, yeah, cats and kidney disease in cats.
Yep.
So we know that as cats age...
Cans of kidney beans? What? Yeah.
As cats age, they are more likely to have renal problems. And in fact, it is incredibly common in older cats. So our cats are living longer than ever before, but they are suffering kidney disease. So for every dollar raised, or $2... the Wynn Feline Foundation, up to a total of $50,000, will match funds.
Wow.
Yeah, will match funds so we could better understand kidney disease in cats. For more, you can go to my website or the Wynn Feline Foundation, W-I-N-N, felinefoundation.org.
Always a pleasure.
It is my pleasure. What? What?
Glad to hear that. That's good news.
He's Steve Dale.
Our next mayor. Steve's
expert.
Our next mayor, Wendy. I'm predicting that.
Mayor of cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, we're going to do a community forum with one of the candidates for mayor. And we're talking, we're bringing in animal experts. He asked for this. He wants a listening session with all of these experts and veterinarians and people that work at animal shelters around Chicago.
Which candidate? Can
Paul Vallis.
Oh.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yes,
he loves the animals. So do you.
Yep. Thank you, noted pet expert.
So you know
Steve
who
Dale.
Gets my vote.
Yep.
It's a
we figured it out. Yeah. We figured it out. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
A quick break. Some news. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. The greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. We sing the praises of Zorn.
We do sing,
we sing the praises of Zorn, Wendy.
Would it be Eric Zorn?
Yeah, Eric Zorn, fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune, sitting right over there.
I would not claim that that song was written about me, but it should have been.
It should. It definitely should have been.
It was written about some other Zorn, but it's
it applies more to you.
I've adopted it, and in fact, it's now identified with me.
It plays when you appear places. It plays magically.
It's like Hail to the Chief for a president.
Right.
I walk in.
Yeah, like you know why? Because he has it on his phone and he starts it when he walks into
a
room.
I have a boombox.
You know what it reminds me of? When Bob Hope would break in on The Tonight Show and Johnny would be mid-sentence and you'd hear "Thanks for the Memories" being played and you'd see Johnny go, "Oh, great. Gotta stop what I'm doing.
This cornball.
Bob Hope again. This will be fun."
Well, that's what that reminds you of. Huh?
Bill
rolling his eyes. Oh, God.
There's so many stories in the news we need to get your opinion on. Can we start out with the Gary McCarthy story, please?
Well, this is just something that I was listening to another radio station over the weekend, when there's a
Bill
Cameron. I know. I was slipped. I pushed the wrong button in the car. Gary McCarthy, who's running for mayor, former police superintendent, was being interviewed by Bill Cameron. I think you guys
he's
know
good.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And they're just talking about various police issues. And the subject of the July 7th protest on the Dan Ryan comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And McCarthy says, well, you know, I really didn't like what happened there. The police being on the expressway were breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember what happened during that incident, or that protest, I should say, the demonstration, was that Father Flager and Superintendent Eddie Johnson, and I can't remember who else, but they all linked arms,
right,
sort of to show common cause, common purpose against violence. It was an anti-violence demonstration. And I thought it was kind of a cool moment. The mayor had endorsed the protest, and you see the police superintendent and Father Flager walking arm in arm down the expressway.
It was kind of cool.
It was a great moment. It was like it got you a little choked up almost that the police, they could find common cause like that.
Tom Dart, was he there too? Sure, Tom Dart?
I don't remember. The picture's online. I didn't study, but it was just a terrific
Javi
moment.
Javi Baez.
So Javi was certainly
he was there.
Mago, yeah.
Yeah,
he was running way out ahead. So, So Superintendent McCarthy, our mayoral candidate, a former superintendent, he says that the police were breaking the law and that they should be prosecuted. Those police officers who participated in this march should be prosecuted.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
Were they breaking the law?
Well, yeah. I mean, technically, they were. I mean, they were, in some sense, they were the law. They had coordinated with the state police and with the Chicago police, and everybody was sort of on board with this. They were going to allow this protest to unfold peacefully, and it did. It lasted, I don't know, about an hour, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they blocked off part of the Dan Ryan, and they detoured cars around it. And Governor Rauner had a little fit about it, if you remember.
Yes.
He called it chaos, which it was definitely not chaos. And I, you know, to my mind, former Superintendent McCarthy, just stepped in it with this remark. I mean, it just shows kind of how tone deaf he is about the need for better relations within the community. And if you go and start prosecuting, arresting police officers for showing solidarity with a community like that on the technical grounds that they've walked onto the expressway in this demonstration, I mean, that's nuts. And he was comparing it to like dealing with drug dealers or shooting people or stealing. He made those comparisons.
Can I ask, because the election is coming, is he grandstanding to some extent? Is he trying to make a bigger deal out of what happened? Or what's
and who is he appealing to by taking that side
of
it?
There's a law and order contingent that was really frosted about these protests. He also mentioned the protests on Lakeshore Drive, where they blocked Lakeshore Drive for a short while.
Yeah.
They walked over to Wrigley Field. That was a couple of weeks later, after the Dan Ryan protests.
Much smaller.
And there are people who are just enraged by those protests. I don't think there are very many people who are, because it only happened twice, and then they had something where they were going to try to block the Kennedy on the way out to O'Hare, and the cops said, no, you're not going to do that. This was on Labor Day, right? Monday after. Yeah, it was on Labor Day.
It was Labor Day weekend
for sure. I think it may have been Labor Day.
The Friday that preceded Labor Day?
It wasn't a weekday, and I remember, I'm pretty sure it was on Labor Day, but in any case, it didn't come off, and they stopped them, and I think they made some token arrests and so on.
Yeah.
What this city is going to need is someone who can bring the police department and the communities that are most ravaged by violence together to fight violence. And you don't need someone who's going to say, okay, if you police officers cross over the line and assist in a protest in some way, then we're going to prosecute you. That was extremely tone deaf. I'm not sure that he had a huge chance anyway, but I think this is going to be a really tough
room to weather. There's so much to talk about with you. I want to move it along really quickly with the Van Dyke trial. Are you shocked that they only got one African-American juror on this jury?
I'm shocked. I'm troubled by that. I think that given that the county is 25% African-American, to have just one out of 12 jurors be black is sets the wrong message. I know, you know, we're all supposed to be, jurors are all supposed to be impartial, but they all bring their own experiences to a trial like this, their own feelings about their own experiences with police, their own experiences with, violence and so on. And to have only one African-American on the jury, I think because I've predicted already, and I think I still think this is the case, that he's going to be acquitted on the at least the major charges, maybe some of the minor charges he'll be convicted
you
on.
You do think
I do that? Think that, yeah. And it just because police officers tend to win these trials. They really do. All across the country, over and over again.
This is a very different case, though.
It is. It looks like it. Yeah, I was actually, right before I came over here, this radio station and WGN-TV and CLTV, other places, they're live streaming from the courtroom, which I don't believe has been done for a major trial in Chicago. This is the first really big trial that's been live streamed like this. And I was listening to the opening statements. And clearly the defense is trying to set up, they're trying to make Laquan McDonald look like he was wild and dangerous.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, he made eye contact with Van Dyke. And,
yeah.
And yet he was looking away and he was looking like he might attack him. And Jason Van Dyke feared that he was going to attack him. It doesn't make any sense when you look at the video, but they say that they've got another video that they've recreated from Van Dyke's point of view of what you see when you see McDonald.
So they say, believe our recreation, not the actual video.
Well, they'll say that you want to look at what Van Dyke, what his position was.
He wasn't the only officer on the scene, though. There were plenty of other cars.
Right. Well, and the prosecution made that statement, too. They said this guy, police had this guy basically under control. They had him corralled. They were following
him. Another officer was on foot.
Following him. Yes, exactly. And clearly, you know, he was a little out of control. But the question they're certainly going to try to, and they've already, you know, they showed their hand this morning. They're going to try to make it look like Van Dyke was an immediate danger to either Officer Van Dyke or to the community at large. He was going to attack, and this is what the defense attorney said, that he was about to attack. And I don't see it. I don't think the video shows it. But when you look at the statute on use of force, there's enough wiggle room in there that I think that what's going to happen probably, I could be wrong, is that the jurors are going to say, well, it's not first-degree murder. Because when you think of first-degree murder, you think of, like, the stalker, right?
Sure. Right.
Something that's premeditated.
Hides in a closet. And the law does not say that about first-degree murder. Premeditation can happen in a second, actually. It's not, you know, clearly, Jason Van Dyke didn't set out that day to kill somebody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he acted in the moment. You can be guilty of first-degree murder with a shooting or a killing that happens in the moment. They're going to try to make you think that the jury's think that he was following guidelines on use of force, that he had a knife.
Jason, right.
Laquan McDonald had a knife, and this was a threat. He had been like sort of wandering around slashing tires and so on, that he was out of control and he was going to be a danger and that they had to bring him down.
But getting back to the original question, if you're a black person living in this city, or let's make it even broader and say anywhere in the world,
yeah,
and you're looking at this case and you go, white cop shooting black kid
16
under 16 times under questionable circumstances,
yes,
and then the jury only turns out to have one black person on it.
Why did the defense allow that to happen?
I don't know. I looked at the composition of the jury, the full composition. Another person on the jury that really kind of troubles me as a citizen is there's a woman on the jury whose lifelong dream is to become a Chicago police officer, and she's already apparently taken the entrance exams and she wants to go to the academy.
She shouldn't be qualified to do that.
I can't believe they let that woman on the jury, because she's going to, if she, let's say, it's going to be known ultimately who's on this jury.
Sure.
You can't keep it secret.
Right.
And the police officers are pretty strongly in favor of what Van Dyke did. So for her then to have to go into the academy, I mean, she'll know this. She'll know that if she is on a jury that finds him guilty, that she's then going to go to the academy, and people will identify her right away as being one on the jury. I can't believe they let her on the jury. That stuns me that they did that.
Julie Unruh interviewed Van Dyke's wife on the WGN News. You should watch it. I feel very sorry for her. She said, sure, when he came home, she said, were you just doing your job? Did you follow the law? Okay, then. You know, I feel so bad for her.
You know, I do, too. But, I mean, I feel bad for anyone in a situation like any sort of collateral damage,
yes,
in any of these crimes. But you got to remember that after this happened, all these cops sort of got together, or somehow all the reports that they wrote were lies. I mean, let's just be honest about it. They were saying that, like, he lunged at Van Dyke and he had to shoot him because he was attacking him and so on.
The video shows otherwise.
The video shows it's completely at odds with the video. And the idea that, well, okay, one person can get it wrong, but you can't get like five people, six people to get it wrong.
Yeah.
They went into cover up mode,
collusion,
right?
Yep.
And there's a reason that they went into cover up mode, because they knew that something had really gone wrong.
Yeah.
This wasn't, and maybe, I mean, I'm not saying why, I mean, it's probably really traumatic to shoot somebody no matter how justified you are, but I'm guessing that one of the reasons he was so traumatized by it was that it's not a clear-cut case. At best, it's not a clear-cut case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we'll see.
That's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then continue this discussion in just a little bit. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about various stories from the news, and there are some big ones. We have not discussed the Kavanaugh story at all yet, Eric. What are your thoughts?
It's just an amazing morning for news around here.
Yeah, it is.
The Kavanaugh story, just last week it became public that when he was in high school, when he was 17, he allegedly impressed himself on a young woman at a party. They were drunk, and mm-hmm. she says, and she's now a clinical psychologist, I think, or maybe a professor of clinical psychology somewhere. I mean, they're both, how old is he? Like, he's 50s or?
Yeah, I think, so, right, yeah.
Or late 40s, early 50s. That at this drunken party when they were 17, that he sexually assaulted her, and that she had been processing this for years. And in 2012, she says she brought it up at a therapy session. The therapist took notes, and she has those notes. So it's not like she's just inventing this out of whole cloth.
Mm-hmm. How did it get out?
Diane Feinstein?
Well, it actually, what happened, my understanding is that she contacted, like, her local representative, and she contacted Diane Feinstein and some other people even before Kavanaugh was formally nominated. When his name was in circulation, she let people know that this was something that happened. It bothered her.
Anonymously at that point.
It was anonymously until over the weekend. Yeah. I mean, the Washington Post did a long interview with her that ran Sunday. But before that, she was anonymous. And so the question, and so Republicans were just issuing this kind of blanket denial. But now that she's come out, and she doesn't want to be the next Anita Hill. She says she doesn't want to participate in any kind of circus. But I think she's already kind of into that right now. Mm-hmm. Because that, and of course, Judge Kavanaugh has vehemently denied this. In her story, there's another guy in the room, another male. And he has also said he doesn't remember it. I think he has no memory of this. He denies that it happened as well, or doesn't can't say that it
but
happened.
Aren't you leery of him saying it that way, that he doesn't have any memory of it, as opposed to this didn't happen?
I didn't read the quote from him. I'm not sure how he put it. I would be a little leery of that. Kavanaugh has categorically denied it, said he never ever in his life has he ever done anything like that. Now, I don't know what to make of it, of these two conflicting stories. Hers seems fairly well corroborated by notes and by time. I guess she took a lie detector test, and those aren't legally admissible, but that's still something.
Yeah.
That she was willing to do that she saw that it was going to be a test of credibility, and she wanted to have that. The other question is, of course, he's 17, and now he's this is 35 years right. late or something like that. And so the question is, well, how much do we hold that against him? And, my sense is that have a lot of people who believe that any crime that a 17-year-old commits could put them eligible for life in prison. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very common, mm-hmm. certainly conservative point of view, which is like, hey, 17-year-olds, they're adults, we'll try them as adults. Happens a lot in the court, in the legal system. So a little bit of turnabout, fair play here. You can't just say, oh, well, who didn't molest classmates when they were in high school, who didn't get blind drunk and do this. So it's going to be an interesting contest. And right now, I think Jeff Flake, a Republican senator who is on the Judiciary Committee, has basically put the brakes on the vote that was supposed to happen on Thursday.
Has that been stopped?
Well, I believe it has. I think he's certainly indicated that he wants it stopped. They want to do some investigation. The question is, now are we going to have an Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas type scene? And if you remember that, Anita Hill used to work with Clarence Thomas
right.
at EOC, were they, or wherever they were. And she had all kinds of allegations about his inappropriate behavior. And they both testified to this, live national television. I mean, that may happen now. But
the difference is, this time around, they're hinting at it may happen privately, that it wouldn't be a more public hearing. Do you know anything about that?
It might be. No, I don't. I think that it's going to be in line with her wishes, because she doesn't want that kind of circus, because Anita Hill's life was totally transformed by that. I don't think she wants that to happen here. I think, ideally, she just did not want him to get this seat. She thought that he was unqualified to be a Supreme Court justice.
Right, right, right.
I mean, not for political reasons, as far as I know. I have no idea what her politics are. But you have this possibility that they're going to have to really air this, and it's going to delay the confirmation. If Kavanaugh's nomination has to be withdrawn, they certainly can't act to get a new justice on the court before the election. And if the election happens to swing the Senate to the Democrats, and there's a sort of 1 in 3 chance, people say, about that.
But here's a quick question. Let's say the elections take place in November and it does swing toward the Democrats. Could the lame duck senators, the ones who have already been voted out, right? So they'll still work from November through December and into January, won't they?
Yes, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, and the answer is yes, they could. They could do that.
They could hurry something along in that period.
Some of them might have a little bit of shame about doing that, but probably not.
I don't think so.
I don't think, I'm just kidding you.
I don't think so at all.
So they could, but it could be very politically problematic.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And boy, it's just this news is just
there's a lot of stuff
busting
going on.
Out all over.
Yes,
so,
there is.
So maybe nothing will be happening next week, and we can
let's
talk
hope
about,
so.
We can talk about baby aspirin. Right,
that'll be fun. Thanks, Eric. That's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Doma Tipongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.